34 minutes past 1 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, my name is Melanie Rice, standing in for Pippa Hudson this week and next. And right now it's time for Fabulous Life. And I'm going to be chatting to Mark Kutsier. He's the chief curator of the Zeitz Museum of Contemporary Art Africa. When Zeitz Marker opens on the 22nd of September, it'll join the ranks of Guggenheim, the Tate, the New York Museum of Modern Art. It's one of the finest art museums in the world. And it's the result of a partnership between Joachim Zeitz, who's a German businessman and former CEO of Puma, and the Waterfront, who committed 500 million rand to the project. The man tasked with filling the massive space that used to be a functioning grain silo down at the foreshore. It's a building that was built in 1924, and it was once the tallest building in sub-Saharan Africa. Mark, you're in charge of what's inside 100 gallery spaces. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Are you nervous about how people are going to respond to what you and others have chosen?
I'm not nervous at all. I think that there's so much excitement about the innovation and the creativity of artists, both from South Africa and the continent. And for us to be a platform for this extraordinary talent is a moment that we've all been waiting for. So I think I have one of the greatest tasks in the world right now is to really take what the Waterfront and Joachim Zeitz have done and turn this platform into a user-friendly, amazing place to visit where we can see the richness of our own culture and who we are at this moment in time.
This is the culmination of years of work for you. You spent 3 years traveling the continent. How did you choose?
It's actually been 9 years. I started the project in 2008, so for the first 5 years of the project, I traveled across the continent to all the African diaspora, Afro-American, Afro-Brazilian, Afro-Cuban, Afro-British, and really just immersed myself, like any researcher or curator would, into this extraordinary subject. I am African myself. I was brought up in Cape Town, so I already had a good knowledge and a great passion for what was being produced in my city, but also further afield on the continent. So for 5 years, I just traveled around, looked at art, spoke to artists, learned from other curators. And then for the last 4 years, after the project was announced between Mr. Zeitz and the Waterfront, been involved in not only in the conceptualizing of how the museum would function, but also then saying, okay, all this information and knowledge and creativity, how do we make selections and pull it together for our opening show and for shows going forward?
Six different
institutions.
Yeah, six different institutions. Can you chat a little bit about what they are?
Well, I think when we conceptualized the museum, the most important thing for us was, you know, in our past, unfortunately, museums have not been publicly accessible institutions. Our museums have not been historically places where all of our people felt welcome. We didn't, unfortunately, represent all the cultural diversity of our people in South Africa. So the most important thing was to try and make an institution that could be the platform for all, that could be a place where everyone felt that they could be represented. And to do that, we decided not to do the standard museum, which has a director and a curator, but to almost diversify the way it functions and say, let's make a big museum and some smaller things in the museum so that there's consenting voices, there's dissenting voices, there's diversity, there's different positions, there's different ways of seeing. Hopefully, so that means that more of our people can be represented. There can be more different viewpoints, almost like a plurality of experience. Because
what are the six different institutions?
So the six institutions are photography. Photography is very important. You know, it was part of the liberation struggles across Africa since the 1960s. Photographers could get in there, they could get that picture, and we could see it. It was almost as if we at that moment. So for us, that was very much part of our contemporary history on the continent. Costume. Obviously, you know, body decoration, body modification, makeup, jewelry, clothing, it all began on this continent. Now we wear brand names, and we think we're so sophisticated, but we forget it began here. It was ochre, it was mud, it was skins.
And it's something that international designers tap into.
Absolutely, yeah. As inspiration, yeah. We then also looked at some things which we felt would make a contribution to our country. So we have a Center for Art Education where young people from across the Western Cape will be bussed in to do art lessons, workshops, before or after they see the museum. We have a Center for Curatorial Studies where we train 25 young curators annually in how to be a curator, how to be a professional. There's many museums being built across the continent, so I think these are going to be young people that go out and start running our museums, our new institutions. And then we also wanted to do something that was new and edgy and fun. So we have an institution for the moving image with 5 screening rooms. So that's where you'll see artists using cinema, video, the moving image. And the Center for Performative Practice, artists who use the body. The most exciting thing with art now is it's no longer just painting, sculpture, drawing. You know, that the idea that we all have, oh, my child could do that, when we see a splash of red paint. Now artists actually use the body and movement and sound and space as an art form. So I think many of our visitors are going to be super excited to almost learn that what we all think art is completely different.
You touched on accessibility. That's a huge part of the museum. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that?
Well, the main focus of our fundraising to this point has been a project called Access for All. We understand very clearly that if we don't make the museum accessible from a financial point of view and accessible from a transportation point of view, we will exclude the large majority of our population. So we've had massive fundraising initiatives, our annual galas, and we've developed an endowment which will allow us to have certain days of the week free for all visitors. All under 18s will be allowed free access all year round, and then half price other days. So it's imperative that we remove the financial barrier between the public enjoying what's inside the museum. We've also worked very closely with the waterfront and the city of Cape Town to reorient public transportation routes like the MyCity bus, the tourist buses, fan walks to connect the museum to the railway station downtown, so that people who might not actually own personal vehicles and who are dependent on public transport can very easily access the museum any time of the week.
The last time I chatted to you, I think about 6 months ago, construction was going on in the atrium, which is a central part of the museum. What does it look like now?
Oh my God. It's almost as if words cannot explain, to be honest.
I thought it was like walking into the building of a cathedral.
Yes.
It was spectacular.
Absolutely. It's somehow, there's a kind of, let me share. Some people say it feels like a cathedral, like Gaudi, you know, the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. Some people say it looks like a spaceship. You know, you have these circular glass elevators that shoot up and down, almost like a Buck Rogers film or a Star Trek or something. I think what's really exciting is it's so out of this world that we're having to find other references to try and understand what this crazy structure is.
And the architect is Thomas Heatherwick.
Correct.
Who is also designing the Google headquarters.
That's right.
And he had a fascinating, because it was an old grain silo, his idea was fascinating in terms of how he carved out the silo barrels.
Mm-hmm. So Thomas Heatherwick is one of the leading architects in the world right now, which is extraordinary for us as South Africans, and especially as Capetonians, to have this level of architectural presence in our city. It's a kind of a draw card in itself. And what he did was, you know, when the building was built, it was just a big machine. And once it was completed, humans couldn't get in it. It was just all these tubes. So he had to find a way to turn something that was a closed machine into a public space where people could come, look at art, but also hang out, meet their friends, take their girlfriend on a date, whatever. Museums now are very social places. They're not only just to look at a painting. You look at a painting as part of a whole experience. So what we did is we FedExed him a piece of corn, a little millipip, and he scanned the millipip and cut the shape of the millipip into the tubes. So when you're there, there's a reference to the reason what that museum functioned like before, just on a really big scale, And it opened it up so that when you're standing in the galleries, on the walkways, in the elevators, you see across the interior. So most new museum projects would function very much on the facade, on the external of the building. Because this is a national monument, it's a heritage structure, it's a very important example of early industrial architecture, which we have to preserve for future generations, he had to work on the inside. So the magic is when you arrive, you look at this kind of hunk of concrete and you think, okay, and then you go down this narrow, almost like a little walkway, and you hit a public square, and then there's this massive 13-story shaft of light, and the top of the roof is solid glass, so you actually look into the clouds. And that glass roof is also the floor of the sculpture garden. So you look up at people walking in the clouds, and they look down at you walking around in the bowels of the earth.
I think I read somewhere that it's twice the height of the dome at the Louvre.
Correct, exactly. The pyramid, correct.
You, in the Sunday Times this last Sunday, you were described as the most powerful man in the African art world. But the Sunday Times also mentioned there has been pushback from the local art scene about whether the museum will properly reflect the range of contemporary African art. What's your reaction?
I strongly believe that I'm a civil servant. I'm here to serve the people of my country. I'm here to serve the mission of the museum. And most importantly, I'm here to make the cultural artifacts of our society accessible and free to all. I don't think it has anything to do with power. I think it has to do with creating a platform for the power of art. I think the ability for us to do this is going to rely a lot on the art community all fulfilling their role in this. No one man can do this. It takes an army. And all I'm doing is I'm facilitating for all those different voices to be heard. We obviously know when something's new in our city. Cape Townians don't always like change. But I think this change, when people see it, they are going to be so excited and so celebratory. So it's just a little bit of a hiccup right now. And I think very soon we'll all join hands and celebrate, just in the same way we did when the World Cup happened and we felt proud about being South Africans.
Mark Kutsia, the focus of our fabulous life this afternoon, Chief Curator of the Zeitz Museum of Contemporary Art Africa. The grand public opening is the 22nd of September, and there will be free admission to everyone.
For 4 days, yep.
Yeah, until the 25th. And art lovers will be able to walk into this magnificent building. I have been inside. It is truly beautiful. And then journey through halls that are filled with thousands of incredible images, paintings, photographs, sculptures from the African continent telling African stories. If you'd like to find out more, go to Zeitzmocha, that's ZEITZMOCAA.museum, or you can follow the latest updates on @Zeitzmocha on Twitter.